Chapter 13 and verse 31, Matthew 13. As you're turning there, let me just say that August's Bible readings devotional is ready and prepared. A little bit early, but I know folks are coming and going on holiday at this time of year. So if you normally use the monthly devotional, they are out in the atrium at the end of the service. And if you don't use them, then there's still an opportunity. There should be plenty there for you to pick up. Matthew 13, a short reading this morning, verse 31, and this is God's word. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Amen. This is God's word to us. Let's just pause for a moment and ask him to speak to us. Father God, we thank you this morning for the opportunity of being able to praise and to worship you in song and in prayer. We thank you for the encouraging words we've heard from Ruth and from Jean this morning. But Lord, in these moments, we would just ask that you would encourage our hearts even more as we think on your word. Lord, allow us just to focus in on these words, to focus in on you. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would just speak to our hearts and into our lives. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Martha Berry was born just outside of the town of Rome, Georgia, in 1866. She was born into a wealthy family that owned a vast estate in that area. She asked her father for a playhouse one day, and he built a cabin for her in the grounds. One Sunday, as she was studying her Bible in her little cabin, Martha Berry heard the voices of children outside. She went outside and saw some of the poor children from the nearby town of Possum Trot busy playing away. Miss Berry, by this time, was a teenager, and she called the children to her and began to tell them stories from the Bible. Her Bible classes met every week in her playhouse. She taught children that would never have had the opportunity to go to school. She taught them how to read and how to write. She taught them arithmetic and other lessons. Then in 1902, she had the wonderful idea of starting a boys' school on nearby Lavender Mountain. She deeded the land, she raised funds, she opened the doors to the school and to the students, and the Berry Industrial School for Boys was formed. The school grew and blossomed, adding a program later for girls. And if you visit Rome, Georgia today, you can still visit the house that Martha Berry lived in as a child, lived in until she died. You can also see the cabin playhouse where she taught the poor children about the love of God. And if you visit Rome, Georgia today, you can also see what that little mustard seed school has become. Today, Berry College sits on 28,000 acres of Georgia real estate. There are 38 wonderful buildings, well over 2,000 students each year who walk through their doors. Berry College is recognized as an outstanding comprehensive college in southern states, a school that began with humble beginnings and has turned into a blessing for tens of thousands of people, all from one little mustard seed. And that's the picture that Jesus paints for us here in Matthew 13 today, as we continue in our little summer series, Down by the Lake. Last week, we had a look at the parable of the sower, and we examined our hearts to see what kind of heart, what kind of soil we have, whether it's hard or rocky or thorny or good, praying that the Lord would plow our hearts until they were useful for him to grow that gospel seed and that we might bear fruit. We also considered the need for us to keep sowing the seed regardless of where it falls. Jesus moves on now to share two little parables that are connected concerning the mustard seed and the yeast. So the parable of the mustard seed and yeast today. And here he's encouraging us, for I fear that if we've looked at the parable of the sower, we've maybe thought to ourselves, is it worth the bother? Because a lot of our seed falls on rocky and thorny ground and in hard soil and it comes to nothing. But I don't want us to be discouraged, and I don't think Jesus does. And so he says, listen, we've sown seed here. And even if it's as small as a mustard seed, it can grow into something big and wonderful. And so the two parables in our text are here to encourage all of us who serve the Lord Jesus with the simple truth that we're on his side and he is going to win. The mustard seed will grow into a large tree with buds nesting in its branches. The yeast will spread throughout the whole lump. So that as Revelation 11:15 tells us, there will come a day when the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and forever. These two parables speak of small things. Small things ultimately can have very large effects. All music, all symphonies, all concertos, all oratorios, hymns and songs come from eight notes. All the profound words in the English language, some of those profound words that you wish your pastor would speak on a Sunday morning instead of some of the simple words that he uses, all come from 26 letters. Every word that we know comes from just 26 letters. Lord Kelvin once did an experiment to demonstrate that small things can have extensive results. He suspended in his lab a large piece of steel weighing many pounds. He then proceeded to systematically take pea-sized wads of paper and throw them at this big lump of steel. And at first, nothing happened. The big lump of steel stood there, still as anything, suspended from his ceiling in his lab. Eventually, though, the piece of steel began to sway back and forth, back and forth. The cumulative effect of the relentless tapping of small pieces of paper had profound results. The influence of something small can be staggering. And so this morning, let's look at these parables and be encouraged that God can do amazing things with a small seed. He can do amazing things with an ordinary person like you and like me, with us sharing our faith with someone else. He can use our influence in the world to do things that are beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations. In these parables, Jesus is speaking of the kingdom of God. He speaks of how it begins small, but how it grows and builds until it is a real blessing. We might look at our church and our witness and think it's small, but it's the potential to continue to build and to bless. In fact, if you look back over 50 years, you'll see that the work began small, but it's built, and it's been a blessing to hundreds of people down through the years. Many lives have been touched, changed by the influence of small seeds, by the influence of yeast, by the influence of ordinary people like you and like me. So let's think about the beginning, the building, and the blessing today. We start with begins. Everything starts somewhere, doesn't it? Verse 31 of Matthew 13 here. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Now here we have the link straight back to last week into the parable of the sower. A man took a seed and he planted it. Now, there's no use us having something as valuable as a seed and doing nothing with it. We thought last week that each and every seed has tremendous potential. It's got the potential to grow and to flourish. It's got the potential to produce other seeds that will scatter and grow as well. Seed generally produces more seed. But seed sitting in someone's hand, or sitting in the packet, or sitting in our pocket, is no good. The seed has to come into contact with the soil. It has to be sown. And once sown, the seed, with the soil around it, with water and sun above, will grow and will bear fruit. The reminder then for each of us here today that we have the most valuable seed in the world, in our hands and in our lives. We have the Word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's great in our hands, but it teaches us of new life in Christ and how we ought to be living His way in this world today. But it's got even more potential if we take that Word and we share it with other people. Then the Word spreads. The Gospel is unstoppable. It spreads, it scatters. As we sow it into people's lives, the kingdom begins. And it begins to grow only when we sow the seed. The man here sows his mustard seed. Look at verse 32. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. In comparing the kingdom of God to a tiny mustard seed, Jesus was using a powerful illustration. Though the mustard seed is probably not the smallest seed known to man these days, it was the smallest seed planted in gardens in Jesus' day. The mustard seed itself is very, very tiny. It takes about 750 mustard seeds to weigh a single gram. There are 28 grams in an ounce. Thus, there are some 21,000 mustard seeds in an ounce. That is some amount of seed, isn't it? How small is a mustard seed? Tiny. But it produces a large plant, we read. And I'll say more about that in a moment. But suffice to say that from small beginnings comes great things. From a small mustard seed grows a large plant and tree. And Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, to that tiny little seed. The kingdom will start small. Can you imagine how important these words were for Jesus to share with his disciples back then, 2,000 years ago? They were just a little group of men, smothered by oppression, by rejection, by blasphemy. They thought to themselves, there's just a handful of us against the whole world. And Jesus says to them, guys, that's okay. That's okay. That's the plan. The kingdom will start out small. And I think that ought to be an encouragement to us here in Conton today. We are a relatively small group of believers. But the work has begun. And the kingdom is growing. Jesus compared the kingdom to that little seed. In truth, most people believed that nothing good would come of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. The people could see the tiny seed, but they couldn't see the great tree that it would become. Let's consider the facts just briefly. Jesus was born in the tiny town of Bethlehem in abject poverty. He was reared in Galilee. No one believed that a man of God could come from that place. He was raised in Nazareth. The inhabitants of that city were considered to be wicked and worldly by the Jews. He had no real family connections. No powerful influence there. He had no money. He had no support from the religious leaders of the day. Jesus was considered to be a nobody from nowhere who would amount to nothing. His parentage was questioned by his enemies. His followers were for the most part the dregs of society. His own people rejected him. He was despised and rejected by men. The Romans eventually nailed him to a cross and buried him in a tomb. His followers preached his resurrection, but the people ignored their message and considered them fools for even following a dead man. Even the Lord's message was hard to swallow for some. In our world today, it still is. After all, Jesus said to give. To give? Jesus said to receive, you have to give away first. You have to give away. He said, you're to love your enemies, to do good to them. He counseled men to turn the other cheek. He spoke of walking the second mile, succeeding through serving and through denying self. You know, there's no question that the kingdom of our Lord was just like that tiny, insignificant mustard seed. No one could see that the tiny seed that Jesus was sowing would become anything bigger. But guess what? Seeds, when the right soil, the right conditions, grows. The kingdom not only begins, but the kingdom also builds. If you go back to verse 32 there again, we see that the seed grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants, and becomes a tree. When the tiny mustard seed is planted in good soil, it germinates and produces a very large shrub-like plant. that eventually grows to resemble a tree. Some mustard plants have been known to grow as high as 15 feet tall. Something so small with such humble beginnings can become something truly amazing and something to behold. The particular mustard seed being spoken of here, when it grows, turns into that bush, a shrub, normally only growing to 7 or 8 feet, which is a good-sized garden plant. Mustard is a large herb. The Greek word is lakanon, which is from the herb family. Occasionally it will grow to that height of 12 to 15 feet. And there are many eyewitnesses down through the years documented who have testified to the fact that a mustard plant can grow as high as 15 feet. One writer said that they can grow higher than a person on a horse. Another writer said that a horse and its rider could ride under the branches of some mustard bushes, a small seed, a large tree. In this parable, the Lord is emphasizing that there is no connection between the smallness of the seed and the largeness of the end result. The small mustard seed can become a very large bush. You can plant a barley seed and get a barley plant of a fairly reasonable size. You can plant a bit of wheat or corn and get a good sized plant. But if you plant a mustard seed, you can get something that's tall enough for a horse and its rider to ride under. That points out that this parable is not simply an exaggeration. None of the parables are exaggerations. They are realities that were known to the people of the day who knew what Jesus was talking about in kingdom terms. We get an amazing picture of the growth of the kingdom of God. When the seed was planted in ancient Israel, the prospects for success seemed far away. In the beginning, there was Jesus and a few ragtag followers. His followers consisted of uneducated fishermen, of a few revolutionaries, of some men, some women, and even a traitor in his midst. By the time the day of Pentecost came around, Jesus dead, buried, the Holy Spirit coming on his followers, there were still just 120 devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:15 tells us that. But in the day of Pentecost, something amazing happened. Over 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus, Acts 2:41. A short time later, 5,000 were saved at one time. In Acts 4, the church began to grow at an astounding rate. It wasn't many days until the church in Jerusalem is said to have numbered some 50,000 people. And we've been thinking on that in these last months as we've gone through Acts, looking at the unstoppable gospel. And that was just the beginning. As the message was carried around the world, vast multitudes began to come to Jesus. Cities and nations fell on their knees in the face of the message of the gospel of grace. When the seed of the word of God, when the gospel is planted, it grows and it builds. And that building is carried on to this present day. Across the world, many are hearing of the word of God. They're responding in faith to Jesus Christ. We might get discouraged at times because we feel like no matter how hard we try, we always seem to be crushed and crowded out by the evil world around us. But if we feel that way, can you imagine how the disciples felt? However, there are many believers all over the world today. Many believers. And there are still people coming to Christ. In some countries today, thousands of people will come to faith in Jesus Christ as they did yesterday and as they will do tomorrow. The kingdom is growing. But even then, sometimes we feel like the battle is too intense. And remember that we're still in the minority here. The disciples must have felt in that minority. Yet their leader was blasphemed in their presence. They experienced a sense of helplessness and hopelessness and defeat and bewilderment and discouragement as he was nailed to the cross. Yet they carried on to sow the seed of the gospel. And if it wasn't for them, we might not be here today doing what we are doing. The tiny mustard seed was planted and it grew. The kingdom begins and the kingdom builds. Until finally we come to the blessing. The mustard seed was planted and grew and now it blesses. Verse 32 tells us that it grew into the largest of garden plants, becomes a tree. And what happens? So the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The branches of that tree were big enough for birds to build their nests on. Now the question comes up, what do the birds represent? Because some will think that the birds represent demons and evil. And the reason to think that is because last week we thought of the parable of the sower. And the birds were the ones that came down and swooped down and took the seed that was on the hard ground and ate it up. And that seed grew into nothing. Some people think that that represents Satan stealing the word away from people. So birds are images of Satan. But I want to tell you here that here in this parable, they're only illustrative. They're only here because birds could actually go into the tree and sit and shelter. This small seed has become a sizable shrub and tree in the garden. Its branches spread so they offer a place for birds, ordinary birds, to come and to rest. In the shadow of that plant, the birds found shelter from the storms. They found rest from their weariness, shade from the heat of the sun. The humble mustard seed produced a plant that had many uses among the human community as well. People gathered its leaves. They served them up as food. The seeds were crushed and used as a condiment, the pungent flavor enhancing the bland diet of the people. Those seeds were also used as medicine. They were crushed and mixed with other things to make antidotes for snake and scorpion and spider bites. Poultices were made with mustard, but they were used to fight colds and other physical ailments. The humble little mustard seed was truly a blessing when it built and when it blossomed. And the kingdom of God blesses too, doesn't it? It grows like that tree to offer shelter and protection to sinners who recognize their need for a savior. It provides food. The kingdom of God provides food for the hungry soul. Jesus himself described himself as the bread of life. Elsewhere he says that he's come to bring life and life in all of its fullness. That life isn't bland and dull. It's living and it's active. And of course the kingdom of God brings the antidote for the terrible poison of sin. 1 John 3:5 tells us, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. The gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to take away the sins of the world. The kingdom of God brings the antidote to the poison of sin. Everywhere the gospel has been proclaimed and the message of salvation received, lives have been changed, evil has been overcome, grace has been present, compassion has been shown, the hungry have been fed, the sick and the poor cared for. God's kingdom has begun. It has and is building, and it has and continues to bless. That's the explanation of the mustard seed. God's kingdom, as Jesus explained to his disciples, may have started small, but from humble beginnings it will continue to grow until it has a major impact across the globe and across the world, until the day the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the second part of that message is that God can and does take small, often insignificant things and transforms them into something big and something mighty. So be encouraged today. God is in control. Parable of the mustard. And then you get the parable of the yeast. And you'll be pleased to hear, I'm not going to go right through that this morning for you. I will still be here this evening. But the yeast emphasizes the same small beginning, but the same building up and the same blessing. Yeast seems small and insignificant. You saw how small it was in my hand as we shared with the kids earlier on. But once yeast is placed and worked into the dough and left there to work, it works and it grows and it blesses. It built up. We have a bread maker at home that we got a few years ago, one of those passing fades that you come to every once in a while. And we got this bread maker, and we made some lovely bread for a while. And you put your mixture in, and you put the flour in, and you put the sugar in, and the salt in, and that little bit of water, and I'm not sure what else we put in it. And then we took that yeast, and we placed it in the top, and we looked at this mixture in the bottom of this big bowl, and we thought to ourselves, man, what are we going to get here? And we left it to do its work. And the yeast worked its way throughout the whole of that mixture. And as the heat was added, it grew. And we had the most lovely bread we've tasted in a long time. Maybe it's time to get that bread maker back out instead of using it again. There's a wee hint for me later on. Bread only becomes good when the yeast has its influence right through it. And the message is the same as the message of the mustard seed. From something small comes great influence. From something small, something bigger and larger and better comes. From something small, God's kingdom grows and blossoms and flourishes and develops. And so friends, today I want to challenge you to take a look at your lives, to consider if you, first of all, belong to the Saviour. If you're not a child of God, then I urge you today to consider the claims of Christ and the work of Christ. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He offers us life in all of its fullness. He offers us freedom from sin and shame and a renewed relationship with God. He is our Father and He is our Creator. He is the one, like that mustard tree, who wants to protect us and to shade us from the evils of the world. He's the one who brings the antidote to sin that we might be saved and transformed. Friends, you might feel you are small and you might feel you're insignificant. You might think you're worthless and that God wouldn't care about you. The message is that God loves you just as you are. And He wants to do so much more in your life. Stop running. Turn from your sin. Turn to the Saviour this morning. And if you are a Christian here, then I want to encourage you to take your life and to offer it to God today. To be that mustard seed in His hands. You might feel that you're small and worthless. You might feel that you cannot do anything to influence anybody else or to change this world. But you can. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest in this building today, are mustard seeds in the Saviour's hands. We are yeast. And He can take us and He can cause a wonderful influence in this world. And He can make something big and large and wonderful out of us. He can take us and He can use us beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations. But He can only do that if we give our lives to Him and say, Lord, take me and use me. Will you be mustard seed? Will you be yeast in this community? And around this city, will you be mustard seed and yeast across this world, even in Indonesia? Will you grow? Will you flourish as God builds and as God blesses? Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your amazing grace, mercy and love. We thank you for that reminder that each one of us is loved by you. We thank you that in Christ we find our shield and our shelter. We thank you in Christ we find our Saviour and Redeemer. And we thank you, Father God, that we can be saved from our sin if we will just put our trust and our faith in you, if we will turn from our sin and follow our Saviour. So Lord, this morning, if there are any here who do not know you, any here who have wandered away from you, then Lord, this morning, would you draw them back to yourself? Would you allow them to recognize their sin and their need of the Saviour? And would you allow them to turn from that sin and to yield their lives to you? And Lord, for all of us here, we long to be useful in your hands. We long to serve our majesty, the King of Kings. And so Lord, we lay our lives into your hands today. Take us and use us as you will, for your purposes and for your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing together that wonderful old hymn by Francis Havergal. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And maybe this morning as we go through this, there's something in particular that stands out to you that you say, I want to give this to you, Lord, today. This is my mustard seed. Maybe it's your hands. Maybe it's your feet, maybe it's your silver, your gold, maybe it's just your whole life. Maybe when that moment comes as you sing those words that you know you need to give over to God today, then maybe just symbolically where you are, you might just raise your hand to Him. Even just, hey, we're not used to raising hands, are we? Just even just quietly where you are, just open your hands out as you come to those words that mean something to you, and you need to offer them to God and say, take me, use me. Let's stand and sing together.